Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today is a memorial of Elizabeth Ann Seton, and from the United States, we have Dr. Anne Garrido, an Associate Professor of Homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne is coming to us from Atlanta with a preaching entitled, Behold.
A reading from the Gospel of John. John was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard what he said and followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, What are you looking for? Maybe we should stop right there and not even try to take in the fuller gospel passage for today, because this is the second day in a row that John the Baptist has proclaimed, Behold the Lamb of God. And he must really want us to stop and do just that. To stop, and in the original Greek here, ida, behold. Oh, sometimes it's translated look or see, or even more casually, don't miss it. But these translations feel weak in comparison to behold, don't they? In this season of Epiphany, this season of revelation about who Jesus really is, ida sounds like an unveiling, like a covering being yanked off, something profound coming into the light. Ida, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples that John was standing with when he says this immediately leave him and begin to follow Jesus. Now, it's a bit of a mystery, at least it's always been to me, why hearing someone called the Lamb of God would make you want to start tracking after that person. I always figured it must be that I was missing something that was obvious to everyone else. But until I began digging into the commentaries on this image for Jesus and discovered that even the most astute scripture scholars in our century aren't exactly sure what John was implying here. Maybe John was making an allusion to the Passover lamb, the unblemished lamb that the Israelites were commanded to slaughter when they were enslaved in Egypt. By splashing its blood over the doorframe, they were told their homes would be spared when the angel of death passed by. And that very night, when the Egyptians themselves were not spared, Pharaoh would set them free. Perhaps John was saying that Jesus would be like that lamb, that by the spilling of his blood, the people would be set free. Or maybe John was thinking about the many times when guilt offerings were mentioned in the Old Testament. When priests would offer an animal sacrifice to God as a way of seeking the removal of their sins. Maybe he was especially thinking of the scapegoat mentioned in Leviticus, who on the Day of Atonement each year would carry the sins of the people away into the desert. Perhaps John understood, even at this point, that Jesus would bear on his back the sins of the world. Or maybe John was thinking something totally different. Some scholars think that John may have had in his mind the great constellation of Aries the Ram, considered the leader and prince of the stars of the sky, the center from whom all other constellations were mapped. And like the ruling lamb that we'll meet again later in the Bible, in the book of Revelations, maybe John was pointing out that Jesus was the all-powerful, the center around whom all heaven and earth resolve. Ida. Behold. There are innumerable other ways we might understand what John meant when he pulled back the curtain on Jesus as the Lamb of God. But whatever those two disciples of John understood him to mean, it was enough for them to start following him, like lambs themselves following a shepherd. At which point, Jesus turns around and he sees, he observes, as the King James Version of the Bible says, he beholds them. He looks deep down into their souls. He contemplates who they are and what they are doing. They are revealed to him, and he asks them, what are you looking for? Now, we can stop right there in today's gospel because there's enough to sit and ponder here for the rest of this day, perhaps for the rest of this year, because this is the core of Christian living. Once again, in this season of Epiphany, at the beginning of another year, we're invited to behold Jesus. Not just look at him, not just see him, but to behold him. To continue to sink into the mystery of who he truly is, which will never be exhausted by 100 interpretations of the title Lamb of God, or even by the title Lamb of God itself. We're invited to stop in wonder and awe before the veil that's been pulled off before us and just ide, behold, a beholding that will draw us into following. And then we know that gaze will also be turned on us, that we too will be known, that we too have depths waiting to be revealed, dimensions of ourself that only come to light in his eyes. Contemplation has sometimes been described as a long, loving look at the real. It's a description that might encompass both us beholding God and God beholding us. And if nothing else happens in prayer time this morning, or even in this whole day, or even this whole year, the act of beholding and being beheld alone will have been enough. To contemplate the mystery of who Christ is and who we are to him is enough for a lifetime.